There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, let's start Midday Mobile differently. Let's go ahead and hit that.
You've been saying, man, why do you hate Tennessee?
Man, I hate Tennessee because first of all, it's Tennessee, and I just hate them because they low down, they dirty, they some
mm-hmm.
snitches,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. I hate Phillip Fulmer. Mm-hmm. I hate their colors.
Preach.
I'm not a dog person. I just hate Tennessee, man. Like, and I hate Neyland Stadium. It looks like a garbage truck worker convention.
Oh, wait a second. Did I hit something there that it looks like a garbage truck worker convention? Because maybe the garbage was with the fans there during the game. By the way, hi. This is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Lots coming up on the show. Hour number two, candidate for Senate, Katie Britt, is going to join us. Also, the second half of this hour, we'll be talking the news of Alabama. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, will join us on that. But first, I want to bring together a group of my friends here at the station to discuss this. As soon as I got back from the Cub Scout camping trip, which, by the way, had a big Cub Scout camping trip, went over to Davis Bayou Campground over Mississippi near Ocean Springs. What a beautiful spot if y'all want to get out. That's a really great spot to camp. But I get back and I get all the news on Sunday about what I missed during the Tennessee game. And the objects flung to the field, the golf ball that – Dalton, can you come in here? Dalton, as a Tennessee fan, can you come in here? You know, the golf ball thrown – at Lane Kiffin. And then I look also at catching up on Twitter, and I see my buddy Jeff Poor saying that this is, and he told me a second ago, this is not, oh, no. That this is not something that that is new. But, Jeff, I want to point out that I'm going to take the picture right here for our social media that Dalton's walked in. He has a drink bottle. He has a puffy football, and he has, you just hit me square in the head with the football, and some mustard. Dalton, two things here. First of all, Jeff is saying that this is not new.
Mm.
Don't act like we've never seen this before.
Right.
But first, I would like to hear from you as our designated Tennessee fan.
Yeah.
how are you feeling on this Monday? You pretty proud of the Vols?
First off, I'd like to thoroughly and completely do the opposite of condemn every single thing that happened on that field.
You think it's a good thing?
It was completely warranted. And if the referees didn't want to have things thrown at them,
yes.
How about you make the right call every once in a while?
You're saying that it's a wake up to the refs there.
Yeah, I mean,
what about the golf ball for Lane Kiffin? He didn't make the wrong call.
Well, you know, he did. He left Tennessee 10 years ago.
Okay,
that was the wrong call, and that's what everyone was upset about the entire night. Even though Tennessee fans won't tell you, they're secretly still in love with Lane Kiffin.
Mm-hmm.
When he's there, you got to put on an angry face, and that's what the Ball Nation.
So you think it was a well-deserved...
Terrible call. There were terrible calls all night, and I am proud of the Tennessee fans.
So when there's laundry on the field for a bad call, there should be garbage on the field as well.
Exactly.
Jeff, help us with this, because you pointed out, you're saying that this is not new. The people who got clutching pearls here, this is not new.
Yeah, so, and then you hear this, well, this is, we're in uncharted territory. This is just a sign of how coarse and unruly our discord is, and people are just getting out of hand. It's people striking flight attendants and, Tennessee fans being obnoxious. I mean, it's not the case. I remember a bunch of Auburn games where this happened. I think in the late 80s, they threw those cups out on the field. Some of you old time Auburn fans remember, Florida State game. They had these drink cups. They would throw out in the field whenever there was a back. I mean, this, now, thankfully, I understand the safety implications, and they've cracked down on it, and you could get banned, and there's all kinds of rules in place to stop this from happening. But let's not pretend that this is the downfall of civilization because some Tennessee fans got pissed off at a guy that screwed them over a decade ago.
By the way,
just cool your jets, okay?
By the way, updates here, and Leanna had pointed out this on our Facebook page as well. 18 arrested, preliminary numbers, 18 arrested, 47 kicked out.
Yeah, pretty good numbers.
And over 70% were wearing jorts. A lot of people didn't know that. Tennessee fans were wearing jorts.
Some of those water
Gainesville?
Bottles. Some of those water bottles were yellow. I don't know if they have like lemonade mix or what they were putting in there.
Okay, listen. Now that is that's like worse than milkshaking. Those milkshakes are
no.
So are we going to have to implement some kind of, you know how it's like the inverse of NASCAR? They had to put the netting up so when the parts of the car go flying up, they don't go into the stands.
Yeah.
Should there be netting up? Should we move that there should be netting up, protecting the people on the field from the people watching? What do y'all think?
I think
no. Okay, Jeff is a no.
No, I think if anything, you should literally put targets on the backs of people that are. I mean, that's what people love the SEC for. It's that passion, and you can't just turn it off because a few people in Neyland Stadium on a Saturday night get a little rowdy. But like Jeff said, I like how after something like this happens, like everyone with a normal head on their shoulders says, well, that's ridiculous. Why are they throwing things?
Mm-hmm.
The game isn't even over. The Vols still have three timeouts.
Right.
If you want to win, maybe don't let it all ride on 1 4th and 18 play there at the end of the game and then get upset about that. Maybe control the narrative through the entire game. Mm-hmm. Everyone that was watching knew what those people were doing was stupid. And every single person from there forward on this on whatever that game broadcast and then the show that's on afterwards, it's like an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting where if you're going to say anything, you have to get on and say, well, I'm, for one, appalled at what we just witnessed at Neyland Stadium. And someone could have died if one of those bottles of water had been thrown any harder. It's someone, everyone has to say that. It's like, just get over it. Just
do you have to say that? What is the womanification of society demands that we say that? I mean, here I am sitting here like, is that polite manners that I have to say, oh, this is wrong. Look, if you get caught breaking the rules, they ought to pull you out of the stands, maybe put you in jail, slap some handcuffs on you. There are rules in place. University of Tennessee law enforcement needs to do a better job at policing Neyland Stadium, first off. But let's not act like this is, I don't know. No one got, did anybody get hurt from a mustard bottle? did we really jeopardize anybody's future career in the NFL because of something thrown onto the field? Was it that serious?
Well, I want to say, before I say anything else, I want to say how sorry I am that it happened, that there weren't more Tennessee fans snatched up by their jean loops on their jorts or their tank top or their mullet and thrown clean out. But, who brings mustard to the football game? I don't really know
that
one.
That's the big question. Now, I was thinking with all of the cramping injuries that came during the game from all the faking Ole Miss players who were tired of the Tennessee offense running up and down the field, mustard has been used as a cramp reliever, or at least at my old high school it was. So maybe someone had some of that on hand and we're just trying to help the Ole Miss players. But if you thought the things that Tennessee fans threw this last weekend were good, wait until this coming Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That one call that swings the game, because we know that refs are going to steal this one for Alabama too.
Sure, Dalton. That's exactly what's happened for the last how many years?
I think 15 years now.
Okay, so that's great. So, but Jeff, so you're saying that it's much to do about nothing, or this is a mountain out of a molehill?
Well, I mean, it's significant. It's newsworthy. It's not so much that it's a mountain out of a molehill. It's the indignation. It just spare me your, your righteous indignation that you're appalled by this, because you're not. You're lying. You don't care that much. You're going on about your life today. You're not scarred for life. This isn't, like I said, the downfall of human civilization. Just it's a bunch of rowdy people at a sporting event. It happens in hockey all the time. Mm-hmm. It happens in NASCAR on occasion. It happens. And should it happen? No, but this is the way the media are acting about this. It's the chickification of sports media.
I want to say stop. This. I want to say when we compare and contrast, y'all, there was nobody shooting at anybody from the stands. Okay, so let's put things in perspective. I wonder though, would it be bad if for the next home game that they provide throws for the, like if they're coming through and you're a Tennessee fan, you have your tickets, you get something like a bean bag or something. Would that be a bad promotion for them to provide projectiles?
Whoever steps up, maybe a local insurance
something company. Like that. Get branded. What do you think? I mean, you could have a bean bag with a name like
Bail Bonds.
Yeah, Bail Bondsman, something like that. Jeff, you think there's some promotion?
Now that's potential. That's some cross bargaining there. But I like Tennessee. Is Knoxville, Tennessee on a Saturday night? I probably the same sort of atmosphere where you get stuff thrown at you. And, if you're an I can only speak as an Auburn fan. I can't imagine what it would be like for an Alabama fan walking through downtown Knoxville after a game, especially since they never beat y'all. But, it's not as bad. You put it on the hierarchy. LSU is probably the hardest. Georgia's up there. Florida's up there. But, for Tennessee, for Auburn fans, not so bad. But I imagine for Alabama fans, that's probably what you're going to run into.
Well, I want to point out that doesn't have Facebook on the text line said that he is shocked or she is shocked on how far the Vols fans could throw. Can they not get one of those folks on scholarship?
great question. One more thing, one of the lines that all the announcers like to say is how embarrassing for the Vol fan base. Just want you to know.
I don't think it is.
Anyone who would be embarrassed by that wasn't throwing things. Like anyone who has the ability to be embarrassed, we're not
right.
The people who are throwing things on the field are probably pretty embarrassing in their day-to-day life anyway, right? I mean, they're probably embarrassing when they go to Walmart.
Are they just drunk? Or are they just like, I want to blow off a little steam here and throw some stuff on the field because Lane Kiffin really screwed that program over. It's you still have not recovered from the Lane Kiffin era, Tennessee. I don't know what the hell is going on there. But anyway, I would be bitter about it if it were my school.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, by the way, I've noticed that I'm looking through the Knox County Sheriff's arrested site. They use the black and white bars. They do not use orange for their inmates.
Right.
So you don't want to get confused with the players.
Like the Hamburglar or something, huh?
They get exactly right. The Hamburglar striping, not the orange jumpsuit.
Well, I live for this week. Even though it hasn't been a good 15 years, and the last time—
This is probably y'all's year.
I saw it begin Saturday night, really. The last time Tennessee beat Alabama, there was a young up-and-coming senator by the name of Barack Obama in Illinois. I think Taylor Swift was like 12, and the iPhone was just an idea.
Dalton, you're not beating Alabama this week.
Do you think it's because
it's a guy that will be pulling for the big orange and
because Jeff would do this. Let's have everybody understand. Hey, Jeff, Taliban versus the Alabama Crimson Tide. Who are you pulling for?
Let's not do that. That's not. That's
he pulls
not
for
fair.
The Taliban. Is who he pulls
tell
for.
You
the
who
Taliban put together a program.
I tell you who I might cheer for Alabama against.
Who?
South Alabama.
Oh wow. that cut runs deep.
That is tough.
I am a petty person.
Would you, if you were there and you had gone and sat on the other side at a South game, would you throw things at the South players?
No, these are not worth my time.
Would you throw?
Wow.
Okay.
What are you, crazy? No, my time at South ended very badly. It's not that I'm just being a contrarian for fun, that I like picking on schools, and I have a diploma from South.
They're going to take it back.
They could have it back. The only one of those is hanging on my wall. It's my Auburn diploma. But I'm still bitter. I'm like I said, I'm a petty human being.
Hardly anyone could tell.
I'll put you down as undecided. Jeff, we appreciate it, man. We'll be listening for you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
And this is good. You can just keep this mustard in here if you'd like.
I mean, who brings the mustard? And that's not even the Frenchest. Who brings mustard?
High class here.
Who brings mustard to a football game?
Tennessee fans.
I've snuck a lot of things into Brian Denning maybe over the years. Ain't none of it been mustard. All right. Coming right back, we'll try to assemble a radio show here called Midday Mobile. I'm glad you're here.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Like 1225 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's my buddy Trey. Been doing it like 14 years now in Mobile and Baldwin County. Works for us at the house, here at the radio station as well. And I know a lot of y'all because I hear about it. And I told a story the other day that I think this is pretty telling. So the last job we had, 1-800-GOT-JUNK-DO, is cleaning out a storage unit for the radio station where we had compiled a lot of junk and getting rid of that. And so they came out and cleared out all the junk. I mean, like the rear seats of a Ford Econoline van, giant metal cabinets, old wooden desks that were water warped. I mean, like all kind of stuff. So they get the stuff out of there. And at the end of it, they then clean out the storage. I mean, like sweep it out. Not only was it cleaned out with the stuff, it was swept out. No question. We got our deposit back like in a day. It's the kind of care they take on the jobs they do, and I love it. You can go get them to come to your house or business or storage unit by going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or picking up the phone and calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All you do is set a day that works for you and a time that works for you, and then they say, okay. They set an appointment. They show up. They look at the job. They quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done and sweep up afterwards. Check them out. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. We'll go grab a quick call here, and then tons of very good texts here. David in Mobile up first. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. Has Trey said if he's been called for a cleanup at Neyland Stadium?
Well, see, I didn't do that. You know, my mind went there, but I chose not to do it. Sometimes the best karate move is the one you don't use. But yes, go ahead.
Yeah. If you remember correctly, about a decade and a half ago, maybe a couple decades now, before Sean Payton showed up in New Orleans, there was a weekend where the Cleveland Browns fans started throwing things on the field on a Sunday afternoon because the refs were so bad. And then the New Orleans Saints fans had to get in the act on the following Monday night because they had the Monday night game against the then St. Louis Rams. I was at that game.
Yeah.
I didn't throw anything on the field because
sure
we were in the nosebleed section. It would have never made it to the field anyway with my arm. But the funniest thing about the whole incident, the entire time fans were throwing things on the field, the PA announcer for the Superdome was saying, "We are New Orleans. We are better than this."
And what did you do?
I just started laughing. I was like, has this guy ever been down to the French Quarter?
Very good. David, appreciate the call. There have been things thrown on the field before. That is correct. Let me see. I've got many, many texts here just about the orange jumpsuits. I know. That's Georgia used to throw cans at Bama. Well, the can thing was, but now they can't get their cans, right? That's unnamed texter says, remember years ago, Formula One race in Indianapolis, they had to add cones because of tire problems, and all but four cars dropped out. Thousands of fans threw trash all over the track, and it took hours to clean it up before the race didn't start. Huh. Let's see. Hal says, who was it that used to throw oranges? Hey, sports gurus out there, who used to throw oranges? What team would? I mean, it's going to be Florida or something, right? Am I being just taking the easy layup there? Is it Florida or maybe it's somebody else? Yes, thank you, G-Band. The situation at the football game is tame compared to what they were doing at the turn of the century with vaudeville acts. Yes, they threw stuff back then. And let's see. And excellent. Thank you. Thank you for the pictures, Tennessee Hate Week pictures. Dalton, are you seeing those? Can you look at those on the text line? They're pretty fantastic. That's Keith in Agricola. He's got the Bama pumpkin eating the little bitty Tennessee pumpkin. Let's see. Oh, my gosh, there's a lot coming in here. People talking about scouting. Yeah, we're big in the Cub Scouts, Boy Scout stuff. Love that. Tennessee, Terry says Tennessee had mustard because they were told to bring the heat. Unfortunately, Ole Miss had the wasabi. Well, but it wasn't even Terry. You see, it's like French's. It's not even the hot mustard. It's just like some French's. So it doesn't have Facebook. Says Miami in the Orange Bowl. But what team was it? Just whoever was down there. Like they provided you with oranges you could throw. Thank you. Somebody has gotten me what I've been wanting. The shorty overalls in the Tennessee plaid. That's a good look. It's a very good look. Dalton, I encourage you to wear. Please, I'll pay for them. Can you get some of those and wear them Friday, please? All right, Todd Stacey helps us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Yeah, Walt, I remember that. Walt saying when Mobile, we had the Mystics, right? The hockey team, people threw mullet instead of hats when it was a hat trick. Remember that. Also, Backstrap Stacker on the text line, who I even though he has a handle here and he's incognito, I know who it is. And he said, when I played for Bama in 96, 97, and I can guarantee you that this man did, he said, I had an empty handle of Jack Daniels glass bottle whiz by my head at Ole Miss. Like, that's not, Dalton, you want to defend that? Would that have been, if one of your Tennessee cohorts had gotten some moonshine, you know, y'all leave the still and come on over to the game there at Neyland. If y'all brought one of those old handles, those bottles with the, you know, you can lean over your shoulder and take a toot off of. So that would have gotten my attention too. Hey, Backstrap, did you have your helmet on at the time? That's probably the best question. Actually, let me introduce you all to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Hey, Todd.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good. We're just kind of we're working through the things that people threw. You're talking about this from the Auburn perspective as well. It was cups, right? There were a lot of cup throwing.
Yeah, when I was a student, people would throw cups. Like if the opposing team scored a touchdown, you'd throw, you know, people would throw cups at them. I mean, not like full of stuff, just whatever. I mean,
right.
But I don't think you're going to get hurt by a flying cup. It's not like a golf ball or something. But there's a funny story about this. A long time ago when I was an intern up in Washington, D.C., I got the chance to meet Tom Osborne, you know, the legendary Nebraska coach. He ended up becoming a congressman later on. And he saw my Auburn pin on, and he said, man, I've played at Auburn. He said, we traveled up there and or down to the plains back in the 80s. And the state troopers that were escorting us, they wouldn't go out into the field. They were waiting before the game under the tunnel. And he said, well, why are y'all waiting so far back? He said, oh, you'll find out. So sure enough, they start running out the tunnel, and they're just bombarded and pelleted with all kinds of stuff that the students were throwing. So I think they were pretty wild back in the day, and I've gotten a little calmer. But these days, you get kicked out of the game if you throw something.
It's just I'm just impressed, I guess, the arms. You know, if you're throwing something that's like a water bottle or a cup or something like that, you get that thing from, unless you have great seats, you get that thing out on the field, you got a gun on you, man.
Doing pretty well. And by the way, that Nebraska team, I think it was 1983, they beat us by like 50 points.
Remember those? I mean, the kids, the Utes might not remember it, but like Nebraska, they were insane. I mean, they were in the Orange Bowl. It seemed like every other year they're in the Orange Bowl.
Absolutely. Very good team. But yeah, I mean, golf balls, you can really hurt somebody with that.
But is that premeditated? You know, that's my question. Like did you bring the golf balls, had those in your pocket on purpose, or the mustard? Although somebody on the text line said maybe that people were trying to use the mustard bottle to sneak in booze. I don't know, but I would still be questioning you if I'm checking you there, checking your backpack and you got mustard in it. But
yeah,
I don't know. Premeditated. All right. You know, I want to talk about the lead item in the email this morning from y'all. This is something that you and I started talking about kind of off the cuff last week. And then I talked about it a good bit afterwards. As we look at unemployment numbers, and everybody's like, well, look at Alabama's unemployment rate, 3.1%, you know, this great number. And then at the same time, you go ride around here in Mobile, let alone in Montgomery or Birmingham or anywhere. How many signs do you see out for looking for help, looking for workers, workers needed now, signing bonuses? So what the heck is going on? You've not talked about it, but you've now written about this.
Yeah, and it's everywhere. I mean, one thing, and we've been just really wondering, what is the best economic indicator? You know, unemployment rate is probably the easiest one. It comes out every month. Matter of fact, this Friday we'll get the latest. That'll be the September unemployment rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've just been doing really well. I mean, 3.1%, that's I think, seventh lowest in the country. It's lowest in the Southeast. We're beating all the other states in unemployment rate. But you're right. You talk to any business just about, they're having trouble finding employees, people that will come to the job, work the job. They've done things like raise pay, add benefits, and other different bonuses and perks. They've done everything they could, but they really just cannot find the workers. So Caroline Beck, our reporter, really dove into it to find out that our workforce participation rate, that is the number of people who are working or at least looking for a job, is right now at 56.6%. And that means that, you know, conversely, you know, 43.4% of the able-bodied population of our state is choosing not to be in the workforce.
Wow.
Now, see, that maybe sounds more drastic than it is, because that includes people like, you know, stay-at-home moms, or those who are, you know, just might not have a good reason to work, but are able to.
Okay. So, but you look at the other states, you compared it here, right? So, like, for example, we're number one in the Southeast, right, for having the lowest unemployment rate. But you turn around and I think in that story, look at it, our neighboring states, and they actually have better levels of labor force participation than we do.
Yeah, you get Florida at 59%, Tennessee at 60.6%, and Georgia at 61.6%.
So, and they have plenty of stay-at-home moms there, and people who aren't working. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Okay, compare. You did a good job. I mean, in the story, people can look at it and see, okay, here's the other state. So there is something different.
Yeah, and remember, those numbers kind of sound similar. I mean, it's, you know, in the ballpark of each other. But think about it this way. You're talking about millions of people, especially, you know, in our rate. So it went down a little bit more, 1.2% over the last 2 years, right? Basically during the pandemic, our participation rate has gone down 1.2%. Well, that represents 31,000, almost 32,000 people exiting the state's workforce over a 2 year span. And I mean, just think about that. Let's just break that down, you know, regionally, metropolitan area to metropolitan area. Let's say it's 5,000 people per metropolitan area that are no longer in the work, saying, hey, we are choosing not to even look for a job. That's significant. And
yeah.
And so that kind of tells the story of where we are. And of course, we get to why is this the case? And there's lots of reasons. I mean, COVID concerns remaining out there. You've got a lot of folks that, you know, child care issues, Georgia, are a problem.
But Georgia and Florida have that too. You know, that's what I'm saying. Now look at that, but what's different?
Yeah, so it's a concerning thing. And I'll say this. Labor shortages, that's a problem across the country. It's certainly not just in Alabama. Everybody is having problems finding workers. But I think the fact that we're on the low end of the workforce participation rate is not a good thing. And I'll give you one more metric. One of the things the Alabama Department of Labor does, they ask 20,000 businesses every year or every month, how many people are you employing? Well, right now, we are down about 74,000 people, you know, jobs supported by businesses, than we were in November 2019 before the pandemic. So that's a lot of people. And again, you got child care issues. They pointed to, if you don't have a child care option, you know, especially an affordable one, it affects you. You know, schools being closed or closing for a certain number of days and things like that. You know, people having to take care of aging parents. There's a lot of factors that go into it. But in any case, we need to figure it out, because our economy can't function without a involved and engaged workforce.
Talk politics here for a second. And in the previous cycle, I think 3 or 4 years ago, remember you and I talking about, I said, it sure seems like a lot of people are stepping away, right? We have a lot, but we had one third of the delegation was new, right, when they were seated. And we talked about the number of people that weren't going to, you know, keep their office, stepped away. after time, we kind of bounced around why. But now I see a name that for down here has been, I'm talking about a figure of the legislative delegation to Montgomery, and State Representative Victor Gaston stepping down here.
Yeah, he's decided not to run for re-election. And I mean, anybody who's been in Mobile for the past 40 years knows who Victor Gaston is. A mainstay of the Alabama legislature, says he's going to hang it up after 40 years in the legislature. And, you know, what a distinguished career. I know y'all get to experience Victor down there in Mobile. Just from a Montgomery perspective, he's been one of these lawmakers that really is a mentor, not just to other younger lawmakers, but to staff like me. I mean, you know, he's just a really nice, just wonderful human being. I hate to see him go. I really do, because I think sometimes you need those older, more experienced members to kind of offer perspective and history. But I certainly understand it. You know, he says it's time, and he wants to give somebody else the opportunity to lead and run. And so that's good. But a wonderful career, and congratulations to him.
You have any sense of who you think might be lining up?
I really don't, because this is pretty unexpected. He's been talking about, you know, running for re-election, and then, in fact, had said, yeah, he would probably seek re-election. So I don't think people were necessarily lining up in the wings, or at least I haven't heard about it. Maybe y'all have heard stuff locally. But, I mean, there's no point to running. So ever since 1986 was the last time he faced opposition. And just think about that.
Wow. He comes in 82, and 86 is the last time he faced. Wow. I did not know that was the last time somebody ran against him. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, until you really know that he's retiring, why even bother, you know? So
that's we'll see. I mean, because they got till what? You said the 28th, I think, of January?
Yeah, 28th of January is the qualifying deadline. That's plenty of time for somebody to jump in. And you never know. Victor may have quietly spoken to a couple of people who might be interested. I really doubt it. He's been very he wanted to make this announcement and then kind of leave it open and allow others the opportunity to run and to be leaders themselves. So I'll be really interested in who steps up and runs. And you mentioned how many people. So this marks the 20th open seat just in the House of Representatives. So
compare that with before. I mean, but that is unusual, right? For people who haven't been keeping score.
It is unusual. And I don't have stats on exactly how many open seats there have been over the years. So you look at the biggest upheaval was in 2010, you know, when Republicans took over. Mm-hmm. But most of that was from Republicans defeating incumbent Democrats, not open seats. This is, you know, 20 open seats. In a 105-member body is a lot.
Yeah.
So you're at least going to have that many new people. Some people will probably, you know, get defeated and things like that. An entirely different leadership slate because the speaker's retiring. You know, and people are moving on. So, yeah, it's the House of Representatives in Alabama is going to look very different when they come back in 2023.
Yeah, and it's already, what, 4 years ago we had a third new, right? And now we're going to have it again.
Yeah, and you know, you still will have some veterans, some people with experience and all that, but over these last two classes, if you just go 2018, 2022, you know, you're talking about close to half the legislature just being in there the last couple of years. So that's significant, and, you know, It's going to be Republican. There's no, you know, danger in Democrats taking over or anything like that. But things are different when newer, younger people are in office. And so sometimes it's a really good thing. Sometimes you can get concerned. But in any case, 20 open seats just in the House, that's a lot.
All right. As we wrap up here, just a couple minutes left. Speaking of the legislature, special session coming up on the 28th, a very spooky Halloween special session on redistricting.
We got to redraw the maps. So it's Congress. It's, you know, all the congressional districts. It's the state school board, which few people really pay attention to. And of course, the Alabama House and the Alabama Senate. And so they've got to get all three of those things done. And in a matter, I think it'll probably take 10 to 12 days. I don't think it'll just be 1 week. Of course, there's some, you know, some drama. Some people don't like the way their districts are being drawn, and which is, that's not surprising to me. That happens every year. So the tension right now is between the committee that has drawn these maps, the members who have to vote on them, and how much give and take there can be to get everybody happy while also satisfying all the requirements of, you know, redistricting.
We'll be talking about that more with you coming up. And people want to keep up with what's going on here in Alabama and around the country news-wise. How do they get your email in their inbox?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. And you'll want to click sign up at the very top, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
All right, there he is, cup thrower Todd Stacey. Check it in. Talk to you next week, man.
All right, man. Be good.
Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 on a Monday. Midday Mobile, glad to have you here, and grab some texts and calls in just a second at 343-0106. Right now, I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars, and it's an inventory check-in with Larry. Hey, man.
Good afternoon. Yeah, we got some fresh trade-ins. We had a good weekend, so we got some good trade-ins. Got in a 2011 Cadillac SRX. That's the SUV. It's got the full performance package, including navigation and below average miles. And we also traded in one of your favorites, a 2013 Silverado LT crew cab two-wheel drive. It's got a 5-point liter, and like I said, it's local trade-in, and we'll get them serviced and get them on the lot for the day's over. And then we got a 2015 Colorado Z71 4x4 crew cab, low miles and V6.
All right, how's financing looking here going into fall?
It's awesome. We got lenders calling us every day. They're looking for good customers. So it's going to be great. The rates are going to stay low. The terms are going to stay long. So it's going to be a good fall.
Give us directions to come see y'all.
Highway 90 at Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Please like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
There he is, Larry Kirby, checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right. Text a plenty here. There's one. Some of these I'm trying to get into. They're like, a bigger discussion here, but Steve is on the Schellenberger thing. He said, Florida fans threw oranges at Howard Schellenberger when he was coaching Miami at Florida Field. So Schellenberger called timeout at the end of the game and then kicked a field goal. Miami won 31-7. So I'm not losing my memory. It happened in 1980. I think it was a righteous thing for Schellenberger to do, and I'm a Florida grad. All right. So you're saying something nice about the U, right? All right. There's some question. Larry, I didn't know you went to Ohio. Larry and Atmore said, at Ohio State, we threw snowballs. I don't know that I'm trying to think, I was a rowdy college kid fan. I'm not going to pretend like I'm some, I don't think I ever threw anything. I don't know. I'm not clutching my pearls. I think that's how we started off the hour talking about. I'm not clutching my pearls about that. I tell you what, it clutches my pearls. Let folks throw water bottles on fields. Let's figure out a way to not have firearms show up at our high school football games. How about that? How about that one? Can we throw that in the mix? All right, coming back here in after the news, Katie Britt, candidate for U.S. Senate, is going to join me. Also, in the second hour, I want to talk about the Striketober going on here. So, you know, I mentioned last week we talked a good bit about John Deere factory, that strike there. Now it's getting serious, though. Not everybody's worried about it, even though these things work together, tractors and ag equipment and Kellogg's. But now the Kellogg's strike. What could this mean for your breakfast cereals? This could be big. But there's the strike's going on. Kaiser Permanente, I think they're having a big strike as well. They're calling it Striketober. So that's happening. So we get in that discussion as well. And also, where is it? Dun, 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 dun. Oh, yeah, I want to talk a little bit about what may or may not happen this week in the Mobile City Council meeting. And I'm going to reference a story from last week on County Commission. And this is interesting. Remember how many times we've had on this show a discussion of the backlog at the in the court system? We've had District Attorney Ashley Rich on several times with us to talk about it as well. Well, there was word during the County Commission meeting to get to work, judges. And we'll talk more about that story, that one of the commissioners specifically saying for the judges to get back to work. I think last time, and I don't know what the number is right now. I'm working off of old numbers, but the district attorney had told me, I think we had a 10,000 case backlog. 10,000 cases and these felony cases where if there's no threat of going to court, they can't even really get them interested in a plea agreement either. So we'll talk about that as well. But Katie Britt joins us next right here on FM Talk 106.5.